left in front already, most of the people are seeing.
Eric, are we ready?
Yes, sir.
You ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let me call to order the October 5th meeting of the Mount Pleasant Town Council Flood Resilience Committee. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for being here. Our agenda is published. Item number two is approval of the minutes from the August 31st meeting.
Move for approval.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are approved. Item number three is public comments. If anyone is here to comment from the public, please come forward, give your name, address, and we will give you 2 minutes in return. None? All right. Item number four is discussion of next steps to funding drainage improvements in light of the, this says mileage, it should be millage, I guess. I never know how to spell that. Millage rate approved by council. I think everybody knows we rolled our tax rate back. And we increased the amount that's going to our debt service fund. We did not increase, regardless of what you might read in the media, we did not increase any for regular operations, only so we could fix drainage. And our overall millage went from, correct me if I'm wrong, from 41 to 39 or and change, right?
Yes, correct.
41 to 39. So our tax rate is lower than it was before. So having done that by an act of council, we wanted to see what the next steps are to translate that into fixing drainage.
Yes, sir.
How do we go about bonding it, or is that the best thing to do? I would assume it would be, but what do we do?
Mayor, if I could just interject.
Yes, sir.
You just talked about the issue regarding our millage.
Yes.
Versus the need to do something about flooding.
Right.
This is a picture in today's paper.
Mm-hmm.
Front page of today's paper. Now, that picture's in Charleston, but it could have just as easily been in Mount Pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
I say that because the media, in particular Post and Courier, has been doing a good job talking about trying to do something about flooding. My problem with what they've been doing is I'm not sure on any given day which side of the which side of the issue they're on, because on one day, the day after we did something to reduce our millage but added some money for drainage, we get chastised for a slight increase. My question is, do they think money grows on trees? If you're going to fix this, you got to put some money towards it. And I commend them for doing a great job of writing about the problem, but they need to do a better job about talking about the need to fund it and the need to improve things. And you're not going to improve things without money. We did a very small change based on what we could have done to fix flooding. We did a very small change. And certainly a percentage of our low millage at that time of 41 back to 39, a very small change of a small number is certainly going to be less than a small change of a bigger number,
right,
which other communities have had. So I just wanted to put that on the record, because I think council did the right thing. Well, I know they did, because if we don't do something about this flooding, we're going to be in a world of hurt.
Right. Thank you. Mr. Mora, with that, tell us what, and thank you to staff, Marcy, there you are. Thank you all for helping us through all those numbers and what goes where and everything. So I think, I refer to the big plans, and I see our team is here as the big fix. That's at least for one area. We've got a big fix going on in Snee Farm, where I lived for 5 years, that we're using state revolving fund money for. That was also a big fix, and there will be others. But the next one in the queue is what Thomas and Hutton has been working on for us. But we haven't had a funding source. So do we have a funding source now? And what do we need to do to get from here to there?
Yes, sir. We have a two-pronged attack, if you will. The first is to go ahead and prepare the Royal Avenue Basin for bid. We'll be finishing up those plans and dotting the I's and crossing the T's to get them ready so a contractor can be able to bid it. And then while we're doing that, concurrently, we'll be preparing to bond the cost of the work of that basin using the new mill to support the debt service. So that's the plan forward.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so from time to time, as we work on these long-range plans, sometimes we get surprised that the bids come in higher than what the cost estimate was. I'm hoping that due to the nature of this being more specific, that maybe we're closer to the expected cost. I don't know what the realities of the world economy have done in terms of the cost for this type work. Do we need to hear from Thomas and Hutton on kind of where we stand? I mean, like, how far are we from putting this out for bids? What are we expecting? And I think we agreed, did we not, that Royal Basin would go first?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Yes, sir.
Okay.
And we can certainly do that. They've agreed to come by today to provide any information.
Sure. Would the committee like to hear from them real quickly on?
Yes, sir, I would. And then I'd also like to hear something about a consultant we've hired to help us with our grant application and what they're going to be doing, because those grants that we missed out on, the two grants we missed out on last time, I want to make sure we get it done this time.
Okay. All right.
Please.
Yes, Ms. Landing.
One quick question. Conjunction with that discussion, can we also look at Edwards and what that's going to take?
I don't see why not, so that we've got them both lined up. Yeah.
Thank you.
Right. Hey.
Hi, I'm Rick Karkowski again. Just thank you for having us here. You know, we don't have a presentation. We're just here to answer questions.
Sure.
But, you know, I believe you said, like, where we sit for Royal. We did get the final, you know, permitting plans ready to go. The only hurdle is to go through the town's review for the MS4 approval. And once that's done, that makes a domino effect on other permits that are conditionally approved waiting for MS4 approval. So once MS4 approval is done, we take that letter to DHEC and OCRM, and they give us their two permits, and then it's ready to be bid. So, you know, we're weeks away, you know, once the MS4 approval is in.
Okay. And where does the MS4 approval stand?
We resubmitted a full new package. We had comments. We've been doing some work with town staff on their reviews, and we addressed some comments and some concerns that they had. We made a full submittal back to them on Thursday of last week. So they have that now.
Okay. So that's well underway then.
Yes, sir. And we, the design has to be correct, obviously. And I have every faith that it is correct. And then after that, we plan to move very quickly to get this thing to construction.
Okay. So would this involve the issuance of bonds?
Yes, sir.
And these would be general, obviously this is not, these are not revenue bonds. These are general obligation bonds, I assume. No?
Yes, sir. We plan to use that extra mill
right
to go ahead and support the debt service on a bond to construct the Royal Basin.
Okay. And our debt limit is not in play yet?
It won't be for the Royal Basin. We're fine there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What is it? An 8%? Is that it on general obligation bonds? 8% of your overall?
That's right.
Valuation.
And it did jump thanks to reassessment, and it went somewhere, and Marcy can refine this, but it went somewhere from 13 million of capacity to 20 to 23 million of capacity.
Okay.
So you could go as far as you like. You can also, we'll have all these options prepared. This is the process we're working on now as to the time frame of which to bond. You can go 10 years. You could decide to extend it out to get a little more money for the basins. There's several different options.
Okay. And what are we expecting this first one to come in at?
You know, I, again,
Mayor, I don't know that I'd want to put that number out right now if we're bidding it out.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, we...
I'd leave it to when we get the bids.
I will, you know, just let, you know, council know that, you know, we do a lot of engineering, we do a lot of construction work. So we base our cost estimates on recent similar work. And, but, you know, once it goes out to a contractor, it's up to the contractors.
Right.
And, you know, and a lot of that has to do with the competition, if you will, you know, for subcontractors and things like that. If everybody's busy, it's going to be higher. If it's everything's not as busy, it's going to be lower. So, you know, there is a little bit of, you know, market play, if you will. Right. So we have to just make sure, you know, hopefully we attract some good contractors. And I think we had... You think he recently had some good experience with the contractor. I would love that contractor to bid this job. So, you know, we'll certainly hopefully get some good contractors interested in this job.
Okay. I know with a road thing a couple of years ago, there was a construction boom going on. And so the road bids came in higher because everybody was busy.
Right.
I hear a lot of talk about drainage around the Low Country, but I don't see that much going on. But then again, it's not like watching a new road be built either.
Yeah, but like, you know, general contractors, heavy, you know, infrastructure contractors are, you know, roads, drainage, residential, commercial, mm-hmm. they're all kind of tied in together. So, you know, there is somewhat of a boom going on now.
Okay.
But not like the, what, 2006, 2007, and 2008, you know, time frame was.
Is there a small pool of qualified contractors for something like this? Is this highly specialized or no?
No, okay. No, it's not highly, but you know, there's definitely a you know, good contractor.
Kind of hierarchy.
We know which ones they are. And, you know, there are opportunities to do pre-qualifications.
Okay.
You know, that's one thing we might want to explore when we do go to bid, is to ask them for qualifications so we just don't get, you know, someone with a general contracting license that maybe hasn't done a drainage job, but, you know, it says, I got a general contractor's license, I could bid this job.
Right.
According to state, you know, law or whatever.
Right.
But we may want to, you know, pre-qualify them. You got to have drainage work in the last, you know, 5 years and da 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 da.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
So then two questions that relate to my earlier comment. One is, when we've seen the numbers and we've heard about everything, we know that Royal and then Edwards are the two in the worst shape. And I had heard that Royal, the permits are just about ready. Is this also true with Edwards?
Edwards is actually, yes, it's it on the same schedule, correct?
Okay.
Waiting for the MS4, once that's done.
So both could be weeks away from being ready to actually start work.
Well,
if we had bids and funding, to bid.
Yep.
So that said, does it help a little bit of economy of scale, because we know approximately that these two are both around the same price range, at least based on what
I think this job's big. You know, each one of those is big enough to attract some really good contractors. I don't think combining them is going to win you anything.
Is it incumbent upon us, as far as trying to help our citizens as much as possible, that if one area gets fixed but this other one has to wait a lot longer, are we in a position? I mean, I don't know. We're looking at bonds at maybe 3% right now.
Sure.
In that ballpark.
It might be less.
It could be less, yeah, depending on the number of years, yeah. So, in fact, it could be pretty good bit less if it's 10 years or less. So then is it possible that we could move forward with bonding on two areas?
I think the playing field is that extra mill and what that value is. If we can supplement that with federal grants, some other money, it's going to be because of the supplements that we can reach the Edwards Basin.
So I thought we did get the state grant back. That DOT one,
and it brought the price down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was $6 million and some extra for one basin, it brought it down to 5.5 in one, and similar type thing in another. So you're still in the ballpark. The town is still in the ballpark for $11-12 million in new funds to construct.
Mm-hmm.
And one option you have is taking that one mill, running it out over a longer period of time to generate more money. You could do that. But I can't answer those questions today.
Right.
We don't know what the bids are, we don't know what it's going to look like, and we need to find out what the financing options are on the mill.
Well, so then the question is it, when we go out for bids on contracting, should we be trying to get that for both, or should we just be doing the one? That's kind of the question.
Yes, sir.
I think that we can write the bond in such a way to be broad enough and vague enough that we don't have to say X number for this, X number for that. We can write a bond that says drainage improvements in the town of Mount Pleasant. So I feel like we can, sure, we want to have the match, we want to have all that, but we're going to do drainage projects up to as much money as we can do. I would recommend that we move on this bond, because something's going to happen soon. I don't know what's going to happen, but I think that rate may jump a little bit. And wow, a half a point or a point is a lot of drainage projects when you're talking about that much money. So I think if we could write it broad enough, I think we should try to take advantage of the lowest rates that we could possibly get. And I think that's right now, really. Just, I know we got to make sure we do everything right, but we got to get this thing moving.
Give us an idea. What is our bond? I mean, I know we've done this. I've signed one and my hand shook to see a number that big. But what does, that might have been for Waterworks, which we signed those too. But what does our process look like for bonding?
We'd have to determine exactly how much we need.
Okay.
And then we start to shop it. I don't know whether we have to go back to our bonding agencies, Marcy, or not. If it's less than $10 million, you have the right to go right to a bank for a bank qualified loan. There's many, many different options.
If it's less than 10?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that would preclude Waterworks. If you have Waterworks, that counts towards the 10.
Yeah, that's right. So if Waterworks went to a bank qualified option the same year, theirs would count against ours, so we'd be ineligible.
Okay.
So typically a bank qualified is preferable, at least in my mind.
Yeah.
I assume in Marcy's mind. And we would fall within that threshold, and it's quicker to achieve than going through the typical GO process. Do you concur?
It's also going to be at a lower rate.
Yes.
Yeah, bank qualified, because that just means banks can buy it.
Okay.
Which means you're going to be in a lot better shape.
So are we talking months, weeks? What are we talking about?
Yes, and please understand, I
and I know we're talking in general terms.
Sure,
yes.
But please know, staff fully recognizes council's desire to get this stuff going, because there are citizens who are waiting for improvements. But these things take time. Projects like this of this scale take time.
Right.
Bonding money takes time. We have a procurement process. That's the law of the town that takes time. Typically, to get a package together and get it out the door, for bidders to review could be 3 to 6 weeks just to get it out the door.
Sure.
And then depending on the complexity of the project, goodness, it could be 4 weeks minimum is an appropriate time to allow a contractor to respond to something like this. So, but we hear you and we understand. Today we're in October, and our goal is to have, we would love to have something out the door to contractors who typically settle down over the Christmas period, sometime around the end of the year.
Okay.
So that way when they're gearing back up first of the year, they can get their pencils sharp and give us a bid first of the year sometime. So if we continue that out, we'll be getting bids back January, say maybe February, and then we have to assess, council has to approve the contractor, and then we have to get it ready for construction, meaning the contractor needs time to mobilize. This is fast, but I'd say ideally, I mean, best case scenario, you're looking at late spring of 2021 to start construction. Best case, and I'm assuming I didn't miss anything important. Is that reasonable?
Yes.
Yeah. Marcy, you too, you know the procurement process? Yeah.
Mr. Chapman.
Mayor, excuse me. I also want to remind everybody that we've got two grant applications back in to FEMA. And I don't know, do we have the consultant here today or not?
We don't have the consultant, but we're prepared to speak to that.
Okay, well, what I would like to suggest is we get busy with Royal Avenue. While we're busy with Royal Avenue, we get these grants out the door. We've hired somebody to help us who I believe has a track record. And we, the council, also need to stay on top of it. And that means going to our congressional delegation, going to FEMA, going to EMD as well. Because we missed the boat last time. We didn't get it. We need to put an all-court press on with FEMA to get this assistance. And while the grants are being reviewed, we're moving ahead with Royal Avenue, and it's conceivable that we could get the additional funds to help with future bonds on Edwards. Okay. So I'd really like to hear what staff's comment is regarding why we're using a consultant and how much improvement that might be for us this time.
Sure. And I know Amanda can speak to that. I will say it's been important for us to retain this consultant. My belief is it's a fairly technical review process. And while political muscle can certainly help, at the end of the day, we have to meet the basic requirements of the grant. And that is what this consultant is helping us. Even if we're in a weak position, their job is to help that weak position get a little stronger. And so, Amanda?
Yes, sir. So we've hired...
Amanda, could you take mm-hmm. your mask off some way so we can understand you? Thank you.
Sure. So we've hired ESP as our consultant to help with the cost-benefit analysis. And so basically, they will be helping us go through that very technical component of the grant application for both of the basins.
And how are our engineering staff doing with this grant?
Well, we're working
because with... they're the ones who are very familiar with the technical aspects.
Yes, sir. So they will help to provide quite a bit of the information that the consultant will need to be able to assess that information. So they're providing all of that technical input, and then the consultant who has experience and professional capability for BCA will take that and turn it into the product that FEMA will need to have.
Okay. How much are the FEMA grants? What kind of money are we looking at?
Well, we're looking for all of the cost.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So we're applying through two grants, and one is the flood mitigation assistance grant.
The what?
Flood mitigation assistance grant. And that uses NFIP, the program, the National Flood Insurance Program, and really is concentrated on flood mitigation. Another one that we're going after is the Building Resilient Infrastructure and Communities, BRIC. That is a brand new grant that has quite a bit of funding, over $600 million in this program. And so we're going to, both of those are nationally competitive grants, but which is why it's so important that we work with a consulting firm that has the capability and experience in creating those cost-benefit analyses, so that way we position ourselves in the best, strongest way that we could possibly be.
So theoretically, we could get one of those or a combination of those, and it could pay for a whole basin.
Yes, sir. So we're going after the projects. Right now, this may be a little bit too much in the weeds, but we intend on applying for both of these separate grants for both of the basins. Now, that may be that may be that we separate the basins out for each grant, depending on how they perform and their cost benefit. Because what FEMA, with this technical information, what FEMA wants to see is that dollar for dollar, we're getting benefit for the amount of money that FEMA is giving. So, and that's where it becomes very technical, because you're demonstrating the benefit in a financial monetary way.
Committee?
Thank you.
I don't know.
We got to go to tiered stormwater fees too.
Yep.
Here.
All right.
Is there any decision that had to be made today?
No, that was just for information, unless we heard something that we wanted to change or correct or give any other guidance on. From what I heard, it sounds like puts us on track to do exactly what it was intended to do when we discussed it at the millage vote.
Can I?
Sure.
One quick comment, and that is that it is so great that we're at this point where we have the permits. It is very timely that we will be able to have funding. And I don't think there's anybody here from the media, but as Mr. Councilman Chapman has pointed out, so often they share the things that sound negative, but they don't share the great opportunity, and in this case, solution that has been put forth. And I just want to mention, when we talked about stormwater fees, which we're about to talk about here, a couple years ago, and decided not to move forward with a flat fee increase, one of the things that was proposed at the time was to do the entire project, $20 million project, with one bond under a revenue bond issue. And I'll just say that because we would not even have had the permits until right now, there's been comments in the past that we dragged our feet, we did this, we did never. This project has been in the full-blown works the whole time. But what's happened is, if my calculation is pretty correct, which I think it's been at least a year and a half since we would have issued those bonds, we've probably saved the town of Mount Pleasant taxpayer at least $1 million in interest for money that would have just been sitting there. So I'm just thrilled that we're able to kind of bring the pieces together at a time where we can really solve problems, and we've saved money along the way. Thank you.
Good point. Thank you very much. Anyone else? All right. Our item five on the agenda is discussion of tiered rate stormwater fees. We've had that discussion before. We were wondering if it's possible, if it's legal, and what does such a structure look like. And just for reference sake, we were making the point that I hate to use the word fair, that it doesn't seem like a fair distribution of the cost of managing stormwater reflected in stormwater fees for the person with a 1,000-square-foot house that's been there 50 years to pay the exact same thing as their neighbor down the street who did a tear down and rebuild, who's got 5,000-6,000 feet and more impervious surface. So we just thought this would be a way to look at it, to make stormwater fees more palatable and what we need to do with stormwater fees. So I understand we have some information, new information, or?
I'm not sure it's new, sir, but as a result of the council meeting to set the tax rate, the desire of council was for me to move forward to secure some support, professional support, to help construct what a tier rate structure would look like. And so I'm putting together an RFP now to get that type of support and bring it in. And the idea is that it would be a tiered structure, and the basis would be on square footage. And when that project is done, it'll be brought to you for consideration. I think it's best to look at this particular tiered structure as perhaps the long-term way to be able to attack some of these important drainage projects.
Okay. What kind of time frame are we looking at? Do we think this person could bring something back?
By the end of the year.
Oh, okay.
And Mayor, if I could just interject. And during our discussion of the reassessment and the changes to the tax structure, I mentioned that stormwater fees cannot be used against your income tax, mm-hmm. whereas millage can. And in particular, stormwater fees could go down for the person in the $350,000 house mm-hmm. that was mentioned during the discussions. So they could actually have a lesser expense overall for drainage than they would have had with just a millage change. So I'm really excited to get this off the ground, and I'm glad that to hear that the administrator is suggesting we might have a response from the consultants by the end of the year. That would be great.
I think that would be good. I sense from the committee still that we do want to explore that. We want to take a look at a tiered. Okay.
Definitely.
All right. Sounds good.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it, Eric. That sounds interesting. Of all the realm of things there are people that can consult on, I would not have thought that tiered stormwater fees was one, but God, it's a great country, isn't it? I love it. All right. Item number six is discussion regarding the potential purchase through voluntary sale of flood-prone properties. I put this on there because y'all, absolutely out of the blue, since our last meeting, two people with flood-prone properties have said that as they consider what to do, where to go, or to sell, that they would voluntarily negotiate with the town. And if anybody's here or the press is here, we're not talking about using eminent domain to take anybody's property. But these are two residents that said, you know, I get persistent flooding. I know a fix is on the way, but I might want to do something before then. And we've had that conversation in general, not specifically. But Eric, I think I came on here in December of 15. I can remember in public services, there was some mention. It wasn't like we're talking about now because we're focused on flooding. But the thought was raised that sometimes the fix is a smaller fix rather than the whole system fix like y'all are designing. Sometimes the fix might be $500,000 as opposed to $5 million. I know that works in theory. The question is, does it work in practice? And if someone were to do that, how do we do that? And B, how do we engineer it so that if water, if they're getting sheet flow off the street, do we have to re-engineer a block of a neighborhood or something to make that a retention area and to make it work correctly? So
I think Rick's prepared to comment on that.
And I guess the town knows this of the two properties, and I believe I'm familiar with the two properties that we're talking about. And I would just ask, and I don't know if they participate, if they have flood insurance, and if they're repetitive loss homes. If they are, you could apply for FEMA to pay, I believe, 75% of the purchase price.
Wow.
For tear down.
Even Mount Pleasant type prices?
Well, there's a consultant for everything.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily my area, but there's something we work with other consultants that know that, and we have worked on purchase flood prone homes, and I believe it is that type of money. Yes.
Okay.
So that would be an avenue that we certainly would want to go down if we do get serious with this. That is a long process from my understand, but it is. And then to the point of it doing something other than good for that house that has historic damage,
right?
There's not a lot that the whole neighborhood's going to participate in a mitigation.
Really?
The lots we're talking about, quarter acre type lots, just are not big enough to do what I use the term is move the needle.
Mm-hmm.
They certainly will take care of that one house, because it'll be gone, and the road up to a small type of storm would participate with some drainage improvement. But when we get to the flooding level type of storms we're talking about, the level of fix is so great that type of scale is not producing enough benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Producing a benefit.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
If I understood, you were talking about like a retention pond or something. Okay, how about filling the entire lot with a bunch of trees?
That's great, and that is one of the things of the NFIP program, where the purchasing, can never become anything else other than open land.
Right.
Trees, bio retention, water quality type project, could be an open detention area, could be a pocket park.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
area for people to walk around or whatever, but, you know, it cannot be developed again if it was purchased under that program, as far as I know.
Yes.
And is that something that can be paid for with, I mean, again, we'd hope that maybe FEMA would do their 75%, but if the town is involved, use green space money towards that, if it's either going to be a little park or green space with all trees or something?
Green space.
Christine probably knows a little more than that about that. You're talking about county green belt funds? I don't know if, I know enough to be dangerous about that. I don't know if they consider that green space or.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not, certainly not talking about millions. We're talking about two properties with a very small amount of money involved compared to.
The big fixes.
The big fixes, yeah.
Yeah.
You're not getting green belt funds for that.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's nothing green space separate from green belt. That's the only.
There's not. And if just, can I
please,
just say one
absolutely,
thing?
Absolutely, yes.
I think that I was glad to see this agenda item, actually. I think that purchase of land as a strategy will be in all coastal communities' toolbox.
Mm-hmm.
Some might be in 2 years, some might be in 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, everyone's buying land.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fortunate enough to speak to who I thought was the smartest person I ever spoke to twice, David Wagner, who did the Dutch dialogue. He's the one in charge of this. He's done work in Amsterdam and New Orleans and everything. And his discussion with me was about parks, because everyone knows you have to take them, but what you turn them into is what's going to be important. And you don't buy one person's house. You know, you look at flood maps and you take out a whole bunch of them. And then it becomes something that's civic and works. So like a lot of things, I think there's a strategy here that we as a town have to look at. I don't know if our first step is go buy a house. I think that might be the third rung of the ladder. But the first rung of the ladder is a discussion not unlike the city of Charleston, to talk to the David Wagners of the world and say, can you just, it's like the gentleman we had here at the one meeting who was like really good. You know, if we can get a group of people in here to say, if you were in our position and we know what's going to happen in 50 or 100 years, what steps do we take today? I think that would help us. So I'm happy for the agenda item. And I think what it is it's we don't get there in one day, 1 year, actually. But working on a plan to get us there, I think, is going to help this community. And you know what? It's going to take money at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But as we build our drainage systems like we're doing now, and we have that bonding capacity, maybe then after those bonds in 10 years are paid off, we, instead of just being done with that money, we now addressed step two, step three, step four. So I'm glad it's on here. I think that it's like anything else. It's a strategy that we've got to work on as a town.
I guess one of the frustrations in this, Rick, is that especially these two properties, which I know well and know the owners well, is it seems from a non-engineering standpoint, seems like there's something we could do to make them flood less.
Yeah.
Something with the street or something. And I know Eric and Jody and all, I know we've been working on these for a long time. But if we're missing something, y'all tell us. Y'all let us know. Is there something we can do? I know some of it is the fact, I remember when y'all came back with your first report, I can't even remember, was that after y'all were on council? When Thomas and Hutton came back? I can't remember if it was right before that or after that. But it was amazing. And I remember your whole point is, I mean, there's parts there, there's no functioning drainage system whatsoever.
Yeah.
And one of those is, well, both of those are actually due to that case. They're both in what we call the closed basins. You know, there is no drainage in that basin. It's all dependent on what could soak into the ground.
Right.
And, you know, when ground is wet or enough rain falls, you can't take anymore. So those are, you know, now there is a smaller project plan that's out by the town and I don't know where it sits now, but you know, there's for some other ideas of smaller projects to address those.
Really?
Either in the meantime time or longer term. So
okay. Well, we'd love to hear about those when they're ready. Anything else? Any other questions on these? Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it.
Mayor, I think to close the loophole, it would be a good idea if in this year, like January, so when you have your retreat, that this was an item on that retreat that we try to get us a plan to address, because I think it's really, really vital. Yeah. And like you said, those two houses, I maybe we do buy those two, I don't know. But at the end of the day, it's gonna cost money. Mm-hmm. And we should try to, instead of just have another meeting next month and talk about how bad it is, mm-hmm. we've got to figure out when we're gonna actually figure out what the problem is and then address that problem, because it ain't going away.
Exactly.
It's not going away.
I feel like getting this step, I feel so much closer to getting the first shovel in the ground.
Yeah.
And we're getting there. Finding out about the tiered structure for stormwater fees, all of that helps us. But I agree, we need to be working at the strategy level. And sometimes we're down in the tactics, but this is all on our mind. And as long as it, you know, results in a comprehensive approach, I think we'll be better off. That completes our agenda. Is there anything else for this committee before we adjourn?
No, sir.
Are we good? All right. We stand adjourned. Thank you very much.
All right.
Turn the page.